Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalm to begin with Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. And then skipping to the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor and the blessing it is for us to be able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of wisdom, guidance, counsel, power, and encouragement from your word. More and more, Father, teach us to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ and empower us to do that each and every day. Teach us what it means to walk in love, to walk in grace, to walk in mercy. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we live in a world full of people who've been beat up, robbed, and left on the side of the road for dead. And you've called us as your church to be your vessels through which you can reach and touch our hurting world and minister salvation, healing, and wholeness to those who've been broken, battered, beat up, and left there on the road. Lord, there's so much that you can do by the power of your Spirit. Help us to recognize more and more that we're vessels of your wonderful Holy Spirit who can do anything. And help us to live as available lives, as vessels you can use each and every day to accomplish your work, your will, and to pour your love into this hurting world. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today with grateful hearts as we look back on our share-a-thon and see how you, in your grace and mercy, stirred the hearts of listeners all across America to donate to this ministry so that we can continue to do your work here. We pray that you would give us great wisdom as we move forward as a ministry, that we would do and say the things that bring you much honor and much glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Again, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And as Rick just alluded to in his prayer again, we're very grateful to the Lord and grateful to all of our listeners who gave so generously during our fall share-a-thon. The Lord blessed tremendously, and so many gave generously. Some gifts obviously larger than others, but every gift is important. Every gift is a seed, no matter what its size. And, you know, we talk about big gifts and little gifts, but in God's eyes, It's a totally different situation. Whatever gift you give, whatever gift is a sacrifice to you, God values it and recognizes it. So thank you again for all of our listeners that were a part of the Share-a-thon and who prayed for us and who made contributions and pledges as well. I'd like to share with you a very important announcement about an event that's coming up this coming Tuesday, October 20th. For our film project produced by American Family Studios, In His Image. In His Image is a critical and urgent message designed to equip the church to answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a biblical perspective. The movie In His Image is a feature-length documentary that presents much-needed truth with compassion and clarity through powerful personal testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence as well. Every church in America is filled with hurting people asking these tough questions. Can you be gay and be a Christian? What if someone genuinely feels trapped in the wrong body? What did God, or why did God make me this way, or did God make me this way? Is change even possible? Again, it's a documentary, In His Image. It's produced by American Family Studios, and it's a division of the American Family Association. And you can watch His Image, In His Image, for free. Again, it will be available this coming Tuesday, October 20th and beyond. So to watch the premiere of this powerful documentary, you can go online, visit inhisimage.movie. Again, go to inhisimage.movie. That's inhisimage.movie. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Father, once again, we thank you for our nation and thank you for your sovereignty over our nation. Thank you for your sovereignty over all people and all circumstances. Thank you for your church. Father, stir us more and more to be the church you want us to be. Pour out your spirit of revival and renewal mightily upon your church. And pour out your healing mercy and grace upon our nation, Lord. We stand in so much need of your grace and your mercy during this time. But Lord, thank you for the fact that you are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for your healing power, and more help us to pray and to do what you'd have us to do, to be available vessels through which your work and will can be done more and more with every passing day. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're honored to have as a phone guest today Denise Schick. She's the director of Help for Families, and she also is one of the individuals featured in the documentary In His Image, and it's our privilege to have her on to be able to share about her ministry as well as her part in the documentary In His Image. Denise, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, great to have you on with us today, and I want to ask if you'll take time just to further introduce yourself, and we want to get right into talking about you and the work God has called you to, as well as the part you played in the movie In His Image. Would you just kind of further introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. As you said, my experience is really what brought me, where the Lord had led me into this film. Most people say, why would that be? You know, you weren't somebody that transitioned. You weren't somebody that was in the life of homosexuality. But I come at this with a different experience, the experience of being a 9-year-old girl when her father had shared with her his deep desires to become a woman. He also shared with me what that would look like, how I would know when he was struggling in this way. And from that point on, my life had changed. I thought, my dad is a different person. This won't impact me. But I was obviously very wrong. But at 9 years old and trying to process this was very difficult. I immediately felt the loss of a father. He didn't want to be my father, as he continued to share that he really didn't even want children. So there was a lot of processing, a lot of hurt and pain that was revealed to me at 9 years old. I also didn't realize how it would impact me with my dad's confusion about who he was to transfer over into my own life. By the time I was 11 and 12 years old, I second-guessed God. I thought, did God make a mistake? Was Dad really supposed to be a woman? And with that, I started to play that out in my mind. What would you look like a man to me? How would you walk? what would that mean for a relationship when you're an adult? And so there was a lot of confusion of who I was as I knew of my dad's struggle, and I knew of him cross-dressing and the other things that were going on in our home at that time. So if we move from being 9 years old of being told by my father that he wished to be a woman, how I would know this, a lot of personal information that was revealed to me that day, to being 11 and 12 years old, confused of who I was. By the time I was 13 and 14 years old, I was saving my lunch money to buy alcohol because I was in such emotional turmoil and confusion, and my home, my dad, seemed to be unsafe to me for other reasons as I started to mature young as a young woman, and there was a lot of jealousy and enviness, resentment that came out of him for who I was becoming naturally. And so there was a tug of war where he was trying to, you know, be the woman, want to be that type of a person in regards to being female, and I was trying to fight for my own emotional sanity and discover who am I as a teenager going through this. As my story continues on, I also discovered by the age of 14 that my dad was now wearing my clothes. And so I learned, again, that home is not safe. There was no privacy for me, as there was a peephole that I discovered where he would watch me. So any time that it came to wanting to dress like a girl, to put on makeup, wear a dress, something that was even pretty, I would pack my stuff up and put it on at school where I felt more safe to present myself in that way than what I did at home. Some of the guilt that I felt that I was female and that he was struggling with this was also very hard to comprehend. And as I grew into dating and had some young men over to the house just for lunch, introduction, come over and watch TV, I also started to notice that my dad had some attraction towards them. But I could not go in that direction. I could not think about him struggling with same-sex attraction because I was still having a very difficult time with the idea that he felt that he was a female. So I had to push that aside and just try to deal with one of these situations instead of both of what was happening in my world. As we continue on at the age of 18, by then I had been dating a young man by the name of Mark. He was a Christian man. And during this time, it was where I came to know more about Jesus Christ as my Lord. I knew about God. I had teachings of God as I was raised Catholic. And I'm very thankful for that because, honestly, as a child and going through all this chaos, that was the only one that I had to talk with about this was God. I would say so many times to him, I don't know why we're going through this. I don't know why I'm going through this, but I know you're with me. And so believing that more than anything else and hanging on to him.
Denise, I'm going to have to jump in here and we're going to take a break and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Denise Schick. She's the director of Help for Families. We'll be right back.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
The music of Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Let me mention once again, this coming Tuesday, October 20th, will be the premiere of the documentary In His Image, produced by American Family Studios. You can watch In His Image for free. You can watch the premiere of this powerful documentary online. Just go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie, starting this Tuesday, October 20th. Hope you'll do that. Our phone guest today is Denise Schick. She's the director of Help for Families. And Denise, just before you get right back into your story where we left off, if you'll pray for our listeners that they'll really be wide open to have ears to hear what God is saying to them through you as you tell your story.
Sure. Thank you for the privilege to do that. Father, I pray for the listeners. Lord, I don't know if there's somebody out there that struggled with their identity or their value of who they are to God, or if it's a family member or somebody that just simply has some unforgiveness in their heart, something that I had held on to for so many years. And perhaps it's just somebody listening that's trying to gain an understanding of what families go through when somebody transitions or truly believes that they are somebody other than who you created them to be. Lord, whatever it is, whatever purpose you have for the listeners, I pray that they will be blessed and encouraged as they know you are alive and you work wonders in the lives of your people.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And let me just mention, too, you can watch a 1 minute and 30 second video about Denise's ministry, Help for Families, if you go to inhisimage.movie as well, /resources/ministries. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Well, Denise, could you pick up right where you left off before we went into the break in your story?
Yeah. So my boyfriend at the time, Mark, you know, really introduced me into more of a personal relationship with the Lord, something that I just didn't experience. And it was through that that I just had a hunger. I realized I had a hunger to know God more intimately than the reaching out and relationship that I'd had in the past. But He became much closer, much more real to me as Mark had bought me my first Bible, and I just devoured it, you know, looking for answers about my situation, about the circumstances of my father. And I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. It was simply, to me, devouring every book that I could to gain an understanding, to gain comfort as well. And through the relationship with Mark, we became married a couple months after high school graduation, when I had graduated. And as we were preparing for our wedding, the wedding day, you know, that every girl looks forward to, meeting their groom, the whole time through these years, never saying anything until one day with Mark, at the age of 16. Nobody knew what I knew. Nobody knew what my dad had told me and what I was attempting to try to work through on my own, besides calling out to God. And I wondered, did God, you know, help Dad? Did Dad get some help? Because, again, family, they learn to be professionals at sweeping things under the rug where nobody knows and you don't talk about it. And unfortunately, I would discover on my wedding day that that had not occurred for my dad, that he had not gotten the help, the support that he needed. As I went up to meet my dad in the aisle before him walking me up, I went to put my arm in his, and he turned and looked at me and said, "I wish it were me in that gown." Mm-hmm. And inside, I just was, it was like your heart is just screaming. Mm-hmm. And you're wanting to cry, but you can't cry as you look at everybody, you know, sitting waiting for the bride mm-hmm. to come up the aisle. And I just said, "Denise, just put on the smile. Mm-hmm. You've done it so many times before. Put on the smile."
Well, Denise,
and pretending to look happy when you're breaking down inside.
I want to ask you one question to hear. As you've shared your journey, what part did your mother play, or in what way was she walking with you through this journey?
My mom still was not walking with me through this journey. My mother would get very sick with migraine headaches. As a child, I thought, if Mom knows what Dad has told me, it's going to make her sick. Mm-hmm. I cannot let her know this. I can't have her have this burden. And so in protecting her, in fairness of my mom, it was me not, you know, going to her. She learned of it when I was 28, when my dad had left her to become Becky. Mm-hmm. And it was in that conversation where she brought all of us, I have four younger siblings, and called and asked us to come over to the house, that she had something to share. And at that time, she let us know that he was leaving. And it was at that time, you know, finally after almost 20 years, that my mother found out what I'd been living with and not saying anything to her. And that was hard on her as a mother. But she, as well, just wasn't a real strong woman emotionally. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that was part of the other part of why I never said anything to her, because I understood that as a child.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you did marry, and so at that point you just would pray for your dad, but still was a difficult relationship between you and your dad?
Yeah, it was a strained relationship, but yet you pretend. You know, as holidays, or I'd go over to my mom very often, as we had before he left. We had three small children and a baby that wasn't a year old. Mm-hmm. But you just learn to pretend. If you mm-hmm. don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the relationship. You could go out for dinner and people would know, you know, what had happened, the struggles that were within each of us. And so as, you know, as that time went on, you would have thought we were just a normal family having dinner together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as you share your story, you know, as you've alluded to already, sadly, very often families, they just become experts or skilled at keeping secrets rather than reaching out for help. You know, what would you say to churches about how they can help families who struggle with issues like this, transgenderism or related issues? What would you say to churches and church leaders about that?
Well, I would first recommend them really taking the time for watching the documentary In His Image, because of the love of God's heart truly being in this film. And so a lot of the answers would be in there. How do we talk to somebody like that? But it's so important for families. The reason that I say that is because families need to know that their pastor, that their church understands what the struggle is, mm-hmm. that they understand the circumstances that they're facing, that brings comfort. It would be just like an alcoholic that says, I will go to an AA meeting because they understand mm-hmm. what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with families. They, so many times, honestly, because of the shame that we feel, the embarrassment, mm-hmm. and wondering who is safe. Who's safe to tell where this is not going to become something of the Christian gossip chain? Mm-hmm. So we need a safe environment to go and somebody that's going to offer that comfort because they have done some research and do understand mm-hmm. what the families or what people like my dad struggle with.
Mm-hmm. So was your husband helpful to you in once he came to learn about the struggle and what you were dealing with? Was he able to kind of walk with you?
He was. Mark was honestly, I believe, sent by God so that I could see how Jesus Christ would react. When I was 16 years old and Mark said, I'm not going to take no for an answer anymore. I want to know why you're so cold to your dad. Mm-hmm. And I honestly thought, he's going to leave. He's not going to want anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had revealed everything. We went directly to my home afterwards. And Mark walked in the house, like he's always done, went over there and seen my dad in the one room where they would talk about, they would often do target shooting together. They both loved cameras, photos, being photographs and going to different areas to get the beauty of nature. And he walked in there and he talked with my dad like he always did.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I'm like, what are you doing? I just shared with you the most painful journey of my life, because, see, Denise's heart was very hard. It was growing harder and harder each day towards her dad.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark just went in, and it was just a representation of what Jesus would do.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark continued to do that throughout my relationship with him and his relationship with my dad. My dad never knew that Mark had known through the years.
Mm-hmm.
He never knew that Mark knew all of this. And the difficult thing is that Mark was one of the men that I noticed my dad had an attraction for.
Mm-hmm.
So it became very complicated, but Mark always treated him with respect as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Continued to have that relationship.
Well, Denise, just as you alluded to, again, we want to say just a word of encouragement to every single listener. This is one more reason why it would be very helpful for you to take the time to watch the documentary In His Image this coming Tuesday, October 20th, because it answers so many questions and issues of struggle that individuals and or families may be dealing with that have family members that went through or are going through a similar journey as Denise's dad did. And so, again, this coming Tuesday, go to inhisimage.movie. Again, inhisimage.movie. And that's where you'll be able to watch it for free, the movie In His Image. Hope you'll take time to do that. Well, so Denise, would you say, for example, whether it be your pastor or pastors that you've had a chance to I'll tell you, before we get to that question, tell our listeners, when did you start the ministry Help for Families? How long have you been doing that?
We've been in ministry for over 17 years, mm-hmm. and that was, that was definitely not something that I wanted to do. I'll just be honest. I really fought God for 2 years with that. I said to him many times, I've been there, I've done that. I'm not going to go public with my story.
Mm-hmm.
But God kept putting people in place and situations in place, and as a country girl from a very small town, it was finally to the point where, Lord, I don't know anybody. saying to him, I am a small town country girl. And, to be able to do something like this, it's finally feeling the burden so heavy. I've never in my life to today felt something this heavy where it felt like a boulder just wrapped around my chest.
Mm.
And I finally started to cry out to him. I said, you have got to take this from me or you have to open up a door because I don't know how to even begin.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's all it took. Because at that point, God began to open one door and then another door and another door.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just me becoming obedient to the calling that he had asked me to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
to him in.
And it was at that point that you started the ministry Help for Families In, correct?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. And so we've been ministering to families before this ever became the issue that we have today, the popularity, you know, of transgenderism, people talking about it. I used to have some folks that would say, why do you want to do that? Well, I really don't, but this is what God has. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult when you can imagine even 15, you know, 10 years ago,
right,
when people didn't talk about these issues. Mm-hmm. So we had to learn early on the importance of reaching families no matter where I was located, mm-hmm, you know, which is simply the phone, computer, mm-hmm, different techniques like that that we began to adapt more and more. And so, like, today we have Zoom. You know, mm-hmm, we have Zoom support groups for families, connecting individuals that struggle with this. And God's just been remarkable of how he has used the ministry to come alongside of everybody in the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Denise Schick. She's the director of Help for Families, and also she's featured in the movie In His Image. We'll be right back. Music of Mandisa, God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Once again, we're encouraging you to take time this coming Tuesday, October 20th, to watch the movie In His Image for free. You can watch the premiere of this powerful documentary online. Just go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. And we're privileged to have as our phone guest today, Denise Schick, the director of Help for Families, who is featured in the movie In His Image. And Denise, you shared how that you were kind of reluctant to really get going, moving forward in this ministry, didn't quite know how, and it would just praise God that you didn't have to get swallowed by a fish like Jonah before you got started. So we're grateful that you did. And, you know, something I would mention about ministry, even ministry like this that might seem to be is uniquely difficult or tough, the reality is your ministry is an expression of the love of God and his heart to want to reach people who are hurting and struggling with an area of need in their lives. And so, again, praise God for people, mm-hmm, that are courageous enough to say, yes, Lord, if that's what you want, I'm willing to do it, because God's always right. He's always, always right. So praise God for that. Mm-hmm. So you're also an author. You've written a number of books. Would you tell our listeners about some of the books that maybe they could get to help, would help them, that could help them get a better understanding of some of the issues, as well as learn more about your journey and what they can learn from your journey?
Yeah, most definitely. When the ministry first started, there was only one book out there on transgenderism of somebody's one man's experience, and so many people were asking. Through the Lord's direction, my first book was My Daddy's Secret, which gives the adult version of some of the other things that had happened behind the scenes and really a story of forgiveness. And that's really what I believe my life honors the Lord in that very difficult journey of forgiving. But with that, we've actually taken several books, one that would help somebody specifically that was created for pastors that wanted to gain an understanding of this because of the stories in the book. And the ministering tools that I use with individuals was created when hope seems lost. And so that, to me, is like a handbook for the church to get them started on understanding this. We also have gender confusion, a faith-based perspective of more of what I've learned with working with individuals and helping them as they search for their true identity in Christ. There are many books on there, but, you know, specifically I'd like to speak about children because we don't hear of resources for children. And it took a couple years of hearing from mothers and grandparents that were requesting something for children that were going through what I had so many years ago. So we created When Daddy Leaves to Be a Girl. And this is a very therapeutic book for both boys and girls that are dealing with these circumstances. And that was, you know, what was so remarkable about that is God's vision for the children's books because they are now growing into a children's series. We released in June, I Am Glad God Made Me a Girl, which does have a couple characters in there, young girls that are going through with one friend wanting to be a boy, how to address that. And as we continue this series, we're just preparing to release What's Up with Cousin Stacy, to address talking with children when homosexuality hits home. And by the end of December, we will have the Boy That Likes Tea Party. So we're really aiming, and God's heart is to reach the children with a positive, godly, graceful, but truthful message on these issues. And so if they go to Amazon and just Google my name, honestly, all of the books should populate up on their screen.
Okay. So which book would you suggest that a person get first that would help introduce them to ministering to this issue? Is there one that you'd especially...
When Hope Seems Lost, yes.
When Hope Seems Lost, okay. All right, okay. And share your website one more time.
Yes, it is help with the number 4families.com or .org. Help4families.
All right, and all of these books are available at that website then?
Correct.
All right. Okay, then. What else would you want to share with our listeners about the film as to why it would be so helpful for listeners to watch?
Oh, goodness. It is so insightful as we hear a personal testimony story from Stephen Black, who was in a homosexual lifestyle, and the truth that is revealed through his own journey of what the reasons, the root causes of that, and Laura, who lived the life of a transgender man. You know, in addition to that, we have Dr. Michael Brown and several others that are speaking about this from a biblical, from the Word of God, but done with such love and grace. I am just amazed by this film. To be quite honest, I just returned home from Oklahoma City where we had a premiere of the movie, and it was the first time that I had seen the final cut. And I was sitting next to one of the film team members, Michael, and he looked at me and he said, "You're probably going to see me cry through this." And I said, "Really, Michael? As much as you've seen the film and cuts and the work of producing the fight?" He says, "Yeah." And I've got to tell you, I cried as well. By the end is the absolute fabulous part of it, as each person has, to me, a genuine offering to the church, to God, with what they share. But it's just magnificent. And I say that I cried because I honestly don't cry very often. I'm not a crier. And it just really touched my heart to see and to feel God's presence in this movie.
Well, praise God. Praise God. You know, it's so encouraging to hear that, Denise. And I think of this, I had the privilege of being a part of the prayer team that would pray over a period of months for the film. And I believe one of many powerful things about the movie is that it's permeated by the Spirit of God. And it clearly mm-hmm. communicates the love of God by the power of His Holy Spirit. The goal is not to be condemning of anybody, but to show the love yeah. of God through the wonderful message and information and insight shared through, as you mentioned, the testimonies and the truths and insights shared as well. So again, the Holy Spirit permeates the movie, and it's a wonderful tool to touch and point people to Jesus Christ. So again, we're wanting to encourage every single listener. You can watch In His Image for free. Just to watch the premiere of this powerful documentary online, just go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Wanted to ask you this, Denise, specifically too. How would you say your pastor has received your ministry, and maybe your pastor and or other ministers, have they been open and supportive of your ministry? Do they seem to be resistant of the work you do? Or how has your ministry been received by leaders in the church?
You know, when I first started, when God first started the ministry, mm-hmm. I went to my local pastor, again, in this very small country town, and really didn't know, you know, how he'd respond. He came to my home, and I said, God's put this on my heart, and this, you know, and he sat down mm-hmm. and listened to what God had put on my heart, and he believed in what God had put in my heart. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he was behind me, and he would train me behind the scenes and prepare opportunities to speak with ministers and ministerial meetings and such. And so he was one of the first trainers I had that I consider, mm-hmm. You know, a real trainer in leading a ministry and all that he had really breathed into. Now, I've been to churches that don't want to talk about it. And sometimes, honestly, my husband and I've gone to churches that once they learn what I do, nobody will speak to me. Hmm. And so it's very difficult. I realize these are very difficult and sensitive matters. Mm-hmm. And I also understand what it's like to be on the other side of the fence, where I too judged my dad mm-hmm. or judged that sin much worse than anything that Denise had done. Mm-hmm. But once I come to a deeper understanding of the Lord's love and the understanding of His Word and how He wants us to reach out, mm-hmm. We reach out to them just like anybody else that's lost. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so thankful for the churches. I was just traveling, just returned home a couple weeks ago from Charlotte, North Carolina, where the senior pastor gave a message on sexuality and had me come up to be part of that and to share. Mm-hmm. So the positive feedback from that, and knowing the families that had come forward afterwards and said, I've never told anybody this. Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm. what we're dealing with. So whether pastors, you know, if they decide not to talk about this, they're not doing their people any good mm-hmm. by not talking about this. Mm-hmm. They're in your pews. If it's not somebody that's struggling with this, there's family members in there, whether it's of their own personal family, a child or a niece or an uncle or a friend. Mm-hmm. They know somebody that's dealing with either homosexuality or transgenderism. If they want to learn again how to deal with this, please, my plea to you is please take the time to watch In His Image.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, Denise, you know, thank the Lord that He gave you the right pastor at the right time yeah. as you're getting started, though, because the reality is when a person's pastor is open or rejecting towards something that God has put on an individual's heart, that can have a lot to do to encourage them or discourage them from moving forward. And the yeah. reality is that God calls all of us to a walk of humility, to where we listen to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, as opposed to deciding, well, there's some things I want to deal with and talk about, and other things I'm just not interested in. God's Word from Genesis to Revelation is full of truth, wisdom, grace, and power, and it deals in direct statement or in principle, it deals with everything. And so we're wise to always have an open heart and a teachable heart, because God wants to teach us to be vessels of His love in every area of life. So our time is just about gone, Denise. Any final words you'd like to share? Let me say this one more time. Again, to every single listener, we're encouraging you to watch the movie In His Image starting this coming Tuesday on the 20th of October for free, to watch the premiere of the powerful documentary In His Image. Go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. Starting this Tuesday, October 20th. Any final words you'd like to share with our listeners before our time ends?
I would like to thank them for the patience, for listening to what I had said in the interview or anything that they may read that I've written, because honestly, since the time I was 9 years old, it was, Lord, help others to understand. Help others to understand what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate each listener on here and being attentive to what I have had to say through the Lord guiding me. And know that we serve an awesome and mighty God. You know, my last words would be, if you're holding on to any unforgiveness, something that I became a master of, really seek the Lord in that and allow Him in to those deepest parts of you so that you can feel the release and rejoice when you hear the song Amazing Grace, as I do now. I heard that as you started the interview, and I started to cry every time I hear Amazing Grace. I know what that amazing grace is all about.
Praise God. Would you just say a quick word of prayer before we end our time today for our listeners?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for the love that you just expel on all of your people. Lord, I mean all people, the lost, and how you search them out, how you want to minister to the broken. And we are all broken in some way. Father, we just thank you so much for your love to be seen in and through this film. And may many, many lives be touched because of who you are. Amen.
Amen. Once again, to every listener, again, you can watch In His Image for free this coming Tuesday, October 20th. And just go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. Denise, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for the Lord to bless this movie and to bless the premiere of it, and that millions plus will be touched and blessed and ministered mightily through it. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.